Monitor, and the brass ring is the group supplying the music used as the main theme in the film The Odd Couple. Listening to Monitor. This is Frank Messer.
The more we hear, the more we learn. To keep well informed is of major concern. So listen for things that are happening on NBC.
Ever since the term projected winner entered the vocabulary of radio and TV election coverage, a controversy has raged over whether or not it's kept voters from the polls. A member of NBC's election unit answers that charge right after the new Christy Minstrels finish their song.
You're more than spectacular, to use the vernacular.
Tuesday night, as you follow NBC's election coverage, you'll notice the term projected winner will be used frequently. The precise technique of projecting winners has been criticized for allegedly discouraging voters from going to the polls. Bud Lewis, NBC News Manager of Election Analysis, answers the critics as he talks with Mike Moss of NBC News.
Mr. Lewis, has a definite effect on the voters been found?
It has not ever been definitely established. The argument goes contrary-wise. Some people say that there is a bandwagon effect, and yet other people claim that there is an underdog effect. Clearly, there can't be both. Also, I think it's important to remember that polls published in newspapers and in magazines probably have a much more profound effect on influencing the voter than an election night projection ever would. As a matter of fact, they've done surveys in which they've questioned people who go to the poll and asked them what percentage had watched television before they voted. The proportion is insignificant statistically. And of those who did happen to hear a projection, there is no conclusive evidence that they were swayed in either way.
Well, what is NBC News doing, Mr. Lewis, differently this year to satisfy those who say that projections keep voters away from the polling places?
NBC News is not in the business of the numbers game. We are trying to present what is happening as efficiently and as expeditiously as possible. What we perhaps are doing is attempting to be more cautious about the way we say it so that there will be no mistake. The point is that NBC News has collected a great number of experts and has at its disposal large computer resources in order to make that kind of personal judgment as accurately and as efficiently and expeditiously as possible. What is necessary, I think, is that we have to explain to people that it is an opinion. We want it to be known that this is just an NBC News projection, and so you'll see on election night, we will always say, NBC News projected winner is. It's not a statement that so-and-so has won. Of course he hasn't won until the votes are counted.
Mr. Lewis, how does NBC News go about projecting the winners of various races, with particular attention to the presidency?
We are conscious of the responsibility involved. And so NBC has two distinct, separate methods for arriving at the conclusion. One of them is a very large, complicated, computerized projection system. It is a simulated mathematical projection of the election. And NBC collects perhaps 15 or 20 of the finest real-time statisticians in the United States to be with us on election night. We have another system similar to that which is used by other networks, which is based on a precinct sample. When both of our methods agree, and only when they agree, NBC News is prepared to say that, in our opinion, this is the projected winner, but not before.
Thank you very much. We've been speaking with Bud Lewis, NBC News Manager of Election Analysis. This is Mike Moss for Monitor.
Of course, projecting winners will only be part of the excitement of election night coverage on NBC Radio and TV. There'll be much more, and the anchorman of the radio team, Russ Ward and Peter Hackis, will report it all quickly, accurately, and completely. Bill Ryan will cover projections and analysis, while Dean Mell and Robert McCormick also assist in bringing you the most comprehensive coverage available. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so Tuesday, get the best election night story on NBC Radio. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
An attempt is being made to frighten Americans over 65 with the charge that Richard Nixon is against Social Security. Here's the truth from Richard Nixon.
I am not only for the benefits of Social Security, I want to improve and extend them. And I have proposed an automatic cost of living increase in Social Security and railroad retirement benefits so that when prices do go up, benefits go up automatically. but the present administration has actually opposed it and kept it from becoming law. I have urged an increase in widows' benefits, new permission for those who work past age 65 to build their benefits to higher levels, extension of Social Security to cover all older citizens, and a relaxation of the existing limits on how much Social Security recipients can earn.
Who's the one who can achieve greater Social Security benefits? When you vote on November 5th, remember, Nixon's the one. The preceding pre-recorded political announcement was paid for by the Nixon Agnew Victory Committee.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
This is Frank Messer sitting in for your regular monitor host, Brad Crandall. And it's 16 minutes after the monitor hour as the team of Campbell and Gentry moves in for a few moments.
Good morning, morning glory. Good morning, what's your story? Good morning, where'd you spend the night? Where did your night dreams take you? Sorry, but I had to wake you. Oh, I just had to make you shed your precious morning light on me. I'm thinking maybe I love you even more today. Every time you go to sleep, I'm jealous of the dreams that keep you away from me. Thank the Sandman, for he let you wake up in my arms. Such a lovely morning to see. 'Cause I had my morning glory with me. I had my morning glory with me.
The following is a paid political announcement.
Vice President Humphrey is a cool man under pressure, and always has been. The point is worth making because coolness is a critically important qualification for the presidency in these angry times. Humphrey's opponents are not so cool. Oh, Mr. Nixon is pretending to be these days, but it's fair to ask if he would not revert under the impossible pressures of the presidency to the older, hotter Nixon. As to Mr. Wallace's coolness, no comment is necessary. He commits political arson every time he opens his mouth. And he selected one of the world's leading bombardiers as his running mate. Next January, one of these three men is going to have the last word about using a nuclear force that can quite literally wipe out life on this planet. It's time now to put your trust in the coolest one you can get. There is no question at all but that Hubert Humphrey is that man.
Paid for by Citizens for Humphrey Muskie. Klaus Ogerman playing No Boom Boom. Now the most talked about woman on Wall Street, Wilma Soss, and her pocketbook edition of the news.
Thank you. The disappointed family and their friends of at least one sailor had a stock market tip without realizing it. Their son telephoned from Hawaii that his expected discharge from the Navy would be delayed for 4 months because he was indispensable. What is so essential in this war, they wanted to know, to keep a signalman in the Navy? Now they know. With the cessation of bombing of North Vietnam, the activity of the Navy has been stepped up. The New York Daily News announced in streamer headlines, Street Won't Discount Peace Move, Rousing Rising Stock Market Expected Today. Exactly 2 hours after all bombing of North Vietnam stops at 8 a.m., forecast news business editor Bill Doyle, look for one mighty big blast at the corner of Broad and Wall Streets. No one will be surprised to see the record daily volume of 21,351,000 shares traded, set last June 13th, surpassed today. Despite all the uncertainties that go with President Johnson's one-sided slowdown in the fighting, it's counted as almost a sure thing that the expected initial surge in stock trading will carry prices above yesterday's level when the Dow Jones Industrials finished at 952.29. Unlike most Fridays, when in-and-out traders like to unload and take their profits toward the end of the session, this one could be a rouser, opined William Doyle, who also keeps his fingers on the pulse of the mutual fund industry. And so what happened? Instead of rallying, as was widely expected, just as the economy has acted contrary-wise to expectations of a downturn by forecasters, the securities markets thumbed their collective nose at analyst opinion. After the first exuberant hour, stock prices turned and ran the other way. Volume dipped to around 14 million shares. Declines outnumbered gains on the big board. The American Stock Exchange chalked down another session. Cessation of the bombing by itself would only lop off about $1 billion from $80 billion in defense spending. The action of the stock market often puzzles investors. It goes up in anticipation of good news and down when the news is out, and vice versa. I remember chairmaning the annual Woman Investors Clinic at the Waldorf last November when the devaluation of the pound sterling hit the ticker tape. Nervous Nellies were itching to get out and dump stocks, but by the time we recessed, the stock market had recovered from its precipitous decline. Second thoughts on first night, so to speak, have been characteristic of our stock markets lately as cooler heads prevail over emotional buying and selling. Although stock prices are supposed to discount expected news in advance of the actual events, said Mr. Doyle, this is one item that even the most jaded denizens of the street won't be able to shrug off, unquote. But cessation of the bombing lacked the surprise element that sent the Dow Jones average up 20 points on the day President Johnson announced he would not run for re-election and would devote his remaining term to a search for peace. The stock and bond market dislike uncertainty. Friday, the indexes that are a measure of the market dropped. Since Labor Day, when Mr. Nixon showed a pronounced lead in the polls, the stock market has been proclaimed a Nixon market with prospects of a more business-minded, less labor-minded administration. It augured less regulation for the multi-billion dollar securities markets and a protectionist bias toward import-troubled industries. Stepping up the peace raised the specter of a Truman-like election upset by Mr. Humphrey. And if the presidential election should be thrown into the House of Representatives, the securities markets could go into temporary shock. The most important stock market news last week had the element of surprise. Corporate marriages and antitrust divorces have caused updrafts and downfalls in the stock market, but the possibility of International Business Machines Corporation giving birth to a fourth-generation computer sent tremors through the manufacture, leasing, and software companies. Growth industry stocks have already been marked down in price at the prospect of a more sluggish economy. Computer users say they can't afford a computer revolution, one reason being the huge investment in software. The other, business is still trying to digest a third generation of computers. Computer leasing is a young industry with young financing. It is the discounter who finds new markets for cast-off computers. Waiting for a new generation of computers with improved capabilities could create a lull for sales until new machines can be marketed. Computer evolution, or revolution, is now the multi-billion dollar question. More and more analysts are coming out for the contrary opinion in investing, which consists largely of picking values in stocks currently unpopular. Some even trek to a contrary investor forum held in the Green Mountains. The electorate has been summed up as being predominantly un-young, un-black, un-poor, and un-male. If the female vote turns out, it may be as contrary-minded as you have been on the issues of consumer spending and borrowing. As a voter, you will affect the climate for investing. Tune in for Pocketbook News a half hour earlier next Sunday. This is Wilma Soss, spelled S-O-S-S. My pre-recorded views, as usual, are my own, and not necessarily those of the National Broadcasting Company nor the Federation of Women Shareholders in American Business.
Wilma Soss and the Pocketbook edition of the news will be heard again next week. Monitor is nationwide and serving Central Florida in the heart of the world's citrus center. Is WLAK, Lakeland, Florida. Monitor continues shortly with the award-winning NBC News program, The World in Washington, an in-depth look at the United States' role in world affairs. This is Frank Messer.
This is the NBC Radio Network.